Some say that it had died. They say it's just as well as it had been the devil's child. They say good conquers evil, but here evil won the prize. So the mountain angel took to the wild. Of her life, they wouldn't fit beside the tiny grave deep in the woods is where she'd sit, talking to the child herself, to him who knew for sure, possessed, they say, by Satan's insane lure. Looking down upon the town where she had once been queen, she'd sneak around the playground, watch the little children play. They'd see the crazy lady, then run away. They say she roamed these hills for years, wearing not a stitch. The lovely mountain angel now thought to be a witch. She made those wailing, mournful sounds that you could hear for miles, long after she'd laid down upon her baby's grave and died.
Couple songs by Dolly Parton, inspired by you, Cecilia. Thank you again for being with us, Cecilia Shulo, Bishop Canavan High School senior, discussing her sculpture, which I've posted on our Facebook page if you would like to take a look at it. That was Dolly Parton doing Mountain Angel, preceded by her version of I Get a Kick Out of You. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green. And in just a moment, Daryl Sean. This is Larry Berger. And this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, WMCK.FM McKeesport, Radio Phoenix.org, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and slbradio.org/radio.
They hate me in the garden. They hate me in the yard. The life of a groundhog is awfully darn hard. Oh, they set out traps, they throw their rocks, they swerve at me with cars. But on the second day of February, suddenly, I'm a star. On Groundhog Day, I dress up in high style. Step out of my winter home, the crowd goes wild. Photographers are snapping, the networks all are there. They want to know the answer, like I really care. If I see my shadow lying on the ground, that means that spring is coming. No, it's the other way around. It's if I see my shadow, I go back in my hole. It's six more weeks of winter, it's all in my control. Yes, on Groundhog Day, the whole world is mine. They want to know the answer, will it snow or will it shine? Kings and queens and presidents all gather round my home. They ask me how I do it, but I'll never tell a soul. I never can remember, I just can't keep it straight. As far as I'm concerned, they can all just sit and wait. While I control the seasons, I control the sun. I control the snowstorms, I rule everyone. Yeah, make room for these guys. Tomorrow's just another day. I'll go back to hibernating in that boring groundhog way. Smelling like a groundhog, dreaming groundhog dreams. Even worldwide fame is much more fragile than it seems. Oh!
From the Saturday Light Brigade Groundhog Collection, there's John McCutcheon and Groundhog Day. Just a quick note, next week we'll be talking with Jaquay Carter between 8:20 and 9 o'clock about Historic Homestead, a Black History Celebration of Song, celebrating the history of Black music in Homestead, and a special evening on February 9th at the Carnegie of Homestead, the Carnegie Library of Homestead. That's going to be next week, February 5th. And the Stapletons are also going to be performing, the husband and wife duo with Appalachian Ballads, Delta Blues, and more. On February 12th, drummer Tom Wendt is going to talk about a drumming series in collaboration with the August Wilson African American Cultural Center. That will be at 8:20. Just some highlights. Stage 62 is going to be with us on February 19th. And from Brooklyn, New York, on the last Saturday of February, the 26th, we are anticipating a singer-songwriter by the name of Doc. All coming up in the weeks ahead here at the Saturday Light Brigade. But a little bit closer to today, and in fact, today, it's a real pleasure to have the musician we're about to feature. He has a new release that we'll talk about. He's also very active on social media with daily songs for you to listen to. He is a guitarist's guitarist. That's my description of him, not his own, but you'll hear why in a moment. Join me now as we welcome Daryl Shawn. Daryl Shawn, tell me a little bit about what you just played. Who is that? Your composition?
Yes. Yeah, Larry. Yeah, this is my own composition. It's actually one of my newest. It's called Leap and Look. And a lot of my songs take like a year to write. I'll come up with a little idea, and then something else will come, and I'll kind of stew in it for a while, and something else will come. And this one came together in just a couple days, and just a couple of months ago, and it's going to be on my new album.
What's the name of the new album?
The album is called Still Here.
That's so terrific. And actually, if it's a song, when did you finish it? Did you write it?
This particular song was just a couple months ago.
I was wondering about that. So to have that come on the album that quickly is something. Is the album primarily you alone, or do you have some backing?
It's all me alone. It's all me alone. Yep, and I'm still in the process of recording. I've got actually, I think, just one song left to record, and that song I just recorded last week, so it's all very fresh and new for me. So I thought I'd open up the show with that.
I'm glad that you did. I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you, but why don't we start just where you're from originally and how you came to love playing the guitar?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, well, I was born in New York City, actually. I just lived there for a short period of time before we moved to eastern Pennsylvania. So I grew up in Lancaster County, actually. Eastern side of the state. Feels like a whole different state over there.
Yes, it is.
Across the mountains.
Yeah. Do you have any memories of New York City, or did your family move when you were pretty young?
Yeah, you know, I have a few distinct memories. One is people walking down the street bouncing basketballs on the sidewalk. I remember that sound. And I remember, and this was in the South Bronx, and I remember going to the Grand Concourse, which they closed on Sunday afternoons, and the Caribbean bands would set up with the steel pans and play. And as a kid, it's amazing because they're these huge, shiny objects, and they sound amazing, you know, and it's like 10 guys playing at once. It's an amazing thing. So I remember just some distinct things like that.
Roughly how old were you when you left?
Oh, I was 4.
Yeah. I was curious because I was born in Cleveland, and my family left when I was about four,
okay.
three maybe,
yeah.
Because I went to kindergarten in Pittsburgh. But I have these odd, weird memories of Cleveland, and one of them was being at a picnic in somebody's backyard, and I had a golf ball, and I just went around dropping the golf ball in people's drinks and thinking that was like the funniest thing in the world.
Wow.
And I also have this vague memory of a dog named Hector that hung around in the alley behind our house. But it's funny. That's about all I remember.
Yeah, Hector the dog.
Hector the dog and probably getting in trouble for golf ball drops. And then life got better on the Casser Drive in Baldwin when the family moved over. How did you find the guitar? Were you very young? Or?
Yeah. No, you know, it took a while. It took a while. I was always into music. I always loved music. And I started out playing piano early and then tuba. And I was very serious about the tuba for about 4 years. And then I kind of discovered rock and roll, mainly through the Beatles, actually. My dad had a copy of Abbey Road, which I just fell in love with. And really wanted to play. And the first thing I gravitated to was drum sets. So I had a drum set for about a year. And I picked up bass for a bit. And then on my 16th birthday, my parents got me a guitar. And it was like, okay, this is the instrument. I want to stick
with it. Was it acoustic by chance?
It was an acoustic.
It's like too much noise on the drum, too much on the bass.
Exactly. Let's dial it down.
Let's get him an acoustic.
And the tuba, It's like, let's dial this down. Yeah, so from then on, I was really into it. I formed a rock band pretty soon. Then I got interested in jazz, so I went to Berklee College of Music for a year. I got interested in classical, studied classical for some time, studied flamenco for some time. And all along the way, I've sort of had bands and then solo projects. And then all the details. In 2004, I was living in San Francisco. And then I moved to Mexico, to Oaxaca, Mexico. And I lived there for 5 years. And I just had a guitar with me, just this guitar I have with me, actually. And I didn't know anyone else, didn't have any band members around or anything, so I just focused on solo guitar. And that's where I really started actually writing solo guitar instrumentals and lived in Mexico till 2009, lived in New York City till 2014, and then came to Pittsburgh in, 2014, end of 2014, came to Pittsburgh.
Well, that's quite a lifestyle. It takes a lot of courage. To move from place to place the way you did.
Yeah. Well, it's always been like various things that have led me from place to place. And ended up in Pittsburgh mainly through my wife. She grew up south of Pittsburgh. And I just love being here. I enjoy it so much. Especially after New York, I was ready for dialing things down a bit energy-wise and pressure-wise. And I just love Pittsburgh. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm biased since I more or less am a native, but it's sort of a place where you can affordably live, yet do just about anything you would want to do, I think, in terms of getting out. Now, the new album is going to be available probably, I would imagine, sometime in the spring.
Yeah, I'm hoping for March. Hoping for March, and it's my sixth album, and I'll be releasing it still in person, still on CD. Some people still listen and buy the CDs, and it'll be on Spotify and everywhere else as well, just sort of putting it out there with everything else.
Daryl Sean is the name of the musician we're speaking to. We're going to talk a little bit about his instruments in a moment, but why don't we listen to another song? What would you like to play next?
Sounds good. This is a song, it's called Santa Barbara Morning, and I've written a lot of music for weddings. This is for a wedding that took place in Santa Barbara, California, and I was there before the wedding and spent some time there, and I just kind of fell in love with the place. The beaches are amazing. It's just a lovely part of the country, and I wrote the song, and this one also actually came together pretty quickly, actually, and it ended up being the recessional for the wedding. So it's called Santa Barbara Morning. Thank you.
Daryl, Sean, I know I said we were going to talk about your instruments, mm-hmm. but hearing those last two songs, I also hear, at least from my ears, mm-hmm. That you would be a great person to ask to score a film or something for television. Or have you been asked to do that kind of work?
I have. I've done a little bit of that. It's usually been I'll have pieces out there and people will ask if they can use them. So I have done a little bit. I've never written anything specifically for film or to accompany anything. It's been sort of existing things. But there was sort of an animated feature that used some of my my looping work, which is it's a project I call Swan Welder. It's all improvised. I just played actually on Wednesday at a record store called Government Center.
Yeah, over on the north side.
Yep, exactly.
I have not set foot in there yet, but I understand that's it's is it Madison? I'm trying to remember the name of the street.
Oh, I can't remember. It might be Madison.
I think it is Madison.
Yeah.
It's very close to the Parkway North.
Yes.
If you get off at the east, maybe it's East Street. If you get off at the East Street exit, you're right there.
But. Yeah, but it's a great store. It's a really big, really big store. Tons of records, and they have a nice performance space. So I played as Swan Welder there, and it's me improvising guitar between two cassette tape machines and creating sort of soundscapes.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, and some of that recording was used in a film a long time ago. This is a decade and a half ago.
So when you do, are you recording or playing back or both?
It's actually both. Yeah, I mean it's like live looping is sort of the general term for what you're doing, but basically I have these two tape machines. One has a loop cassette in it.
Yeah.
So it's about a seven second loop, and
the other one answering machine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Tape. Yep. And the other machine is a secretary's dictating device that has a foot pedal that backs things up a couple seconds and then plays.
Analog looping. I love
analog that. Looping. Yeah. So I'm improvising and I'm recording little bits and I can bounce it between the two machines and they each have a tape speed control. So I'll manipulate the speed controls, bounce it back and forth and just kind of improvise and then improvise based on the sound that comes back to me also.
We're going to be doing some projects when our Youth Media Center is complete where youth are making documentaries. But part of that process is we want to bring in some visiting artists to talk about self-expression in very different ways. We should make a note to arrange to have you come in. It's a stipended program.
Oh, count me in. Yeah.
And that would be really neat to see how that works.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
That could be a fun exhibit too. But I'm talking about things that go beyond today. It's
just, that's okay.
It's fascinating to think about that. So you brought up, I know you play a lot of different styles mm-hmm. of music, and I think you brought two instruments with you today. The one you just put down, is it nylon string?
It is.
That's what I thought. Tell us a little bit about that guitar.
Yeah, so that guitar I got in San Francisco in 2001, basically new, and it's got a lot of miles on it. It's sort of embarrassing to see it now. I actually pulled a hole right through the front, which I had to cover with plastic. excuse me. Just with the kind of playing that I do a lot of percussive playing. And that was in Mexico with me. It's logged a lot of miles. For a long time, I did a lot of touring.
So, and one of the interesting things with this guitar is on the side of it, there is a... the edge of the guitar, if you will, or the top, there is a hole, a square hole of about maybe 3 inches by 4 inches, and that is typically where you would have an electronic faceplate for, you know, the knobs and such. It's an acoustic guitar, but that's where the faceplate was for the interface for the pickups. That's missing. That's been taken out, and it leaves... this rectangular hole that delivers sound to Daryl's ears so he can hear better. But it also has features and benefits. You know, you can put your whole hand, even if Daryl like makes a fist, he can reach inside of the guitar and find things. Was that a happy accident, or did you decide to do that?
Yeah, you know, it was a happy accident because I took out the original electronics and put some in the middle, and I didn't need those volume controls. And I realized it was just awfully handy to have that there and awfully nice to have the second sound hole pointed right at my face. So I was like, great, I get a little bit on the side. The audience gets out the front. Perfect. I'll leave it.
Yeah, you almost wonder what a guitar would be like to have almost like a perforated grill at
top. On the top, I would love it.
Like that.
I'll buy one.
That's a really neat idea. Now, this guitar is different. It's dual strung. And tell us about this one.
Yes, this guitar, it's a Maton. These guitars are from Australia. Tommy Emmanuel famously plays one. And this is actually his model. I'm a big fan of him.
I am too.
Great.
I'm new to him. Only about 6 or 7 years.
Nice.
I've known his work.
Yeah.
More intimately than I had before. He's really good.
He's so good. And just his energy is so positive. I love it. And for a long time, I was nylon string only. And then I've been doing streaming shows really since the beginning of the pandemic. I had been streaming for years before that, sort of on and off. But when the pandemic started, it actually started, I still remember, it was March 13th, Friday, March 13th.
Yep.
I had a gig Thursday, March 12th. I had one scheduled Friday, March 13th, got canceled. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go online and play. And I had such a nice reaction to it, I just kept it going. And so for the first 100 days of the pandemic, I kept playing every day through the weekend and everything. And then, and I called that the quarantour, like, you know, quarantine tour. And then after that, I decided I didn't want to have the association of quarantine ongoing. It just seemed a little negative. So I changed the name of the show to the Acoustic World Service. And now it's now it's every day, every weekday. And so I've done this Monday will be my 330th show for the Acoustic World Service.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's been really fun and just so enjoyable to do. And this guitar came about because I had a local music store, Acoustic Music Works in Squirrel Hill, which I love.
It's a great store.
Know the store. They're great. They lent me a guitar to try because I've done some demos for them. They lent me this guitar, and I fell in love with it. I absolutely fell in love. And I started playing it every day, and my listeners started really enjoying the sound of it. And so they really wanted me to have this guitar. And it's an expensive guitar I couldn't afford on my own, so they helped me. We had a bit of a campaign, and all my friends through the show helped me to get this guitar. And I'm enormously just ever thankful to them. And I know a bunch of them are listening today. So hello, everybody out there, my friends.
Yeah, if you want to mention something or say hello to Daryl, you can text us 412-200-5975. I'll relay those to Daryl, 412-200-5975. And thank you for listening. What would you like to play next?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to play a song that I actually wrote right after arriving in Pittsburgh. In fact, I decided to call it Welcome to Pittsburgh. When my wife and I moved here in 2014, we came from New York. We dumped our stuff in our house and then headed off on a six-week cross-country trip. We hit 7 national parks and just had a wonderful trip. And we came back, and I sat down in this little room that was going to be my music room, and I just started playing. And this tune kind of popped out. And it's sort of unusual for me in that it's not fully composed. I do a lot of improvisation in other contexts, but most of what I'm playing today is pretty much composed. Maybe the solo I'll sort of improvise. And this, I have the chord progression set, but other than that, it's pretty much just improvising. And I still have this video of me sitting in that room on that first day, and there's moving boxes around me, and I'm just sitting and just play this little thing. And I decided just to keep it kind of as it is, basically improvisational. It's called Welcome to Pittsburgh, and it's played on this Maton steel string guitar.
That guitar really has a beautiful tone to it, and it's unique. Is this a traditional tuning that you played in? Or?
It is. Yeah. I do just about everything in regular tuning. I do find I agree. This, like, the first time I picked up this guitar, just the sound of it, this high ringing sound is so unique.
Yeah.
I just love it. I'm really in love
bright.
With this guitar.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Steve picks great instruments at Acoustic Music Works. Steve,
he really does.
Miklas really knows what he's doing and has been a great resource for musicians. If you're just joining us, Daryl Sean is who you're listening to playing the guitar. If you want to send a message by way of us, you can do so at 412-200-5975. Daryl's website is daryl, one R, one L, Sean, .com, and there you'll be able to see his itinerary, still here, the brand new album, information on it, and I am happy to see soon you'll be out playing again, I hope.
Yep.
Also, information on his regular appearances streamed that you can enjoy. I also noticed you have tabs out, which is very generous of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do that. I started doing tabs I think it was probably 5 years ago by now. I started out just arranging cover tunes because I've always enjoyed doing that. And I started to have more regular gigs in Pittsburgh where I'd have to fill 2 or 3 hours. So I started, this will be my 6th solo album, but still you got to fill a lot of space with the material and people like hearing things.
Yeah.
So I started arranging songs and it became a really regular thing up until actually just December. Every week I would do a new song, release a new video on YouTube, a new arrangement of a known song, and then create a tab for it as well. So right now I'm taking a break just while I'm doing so much original music from that. But on YouTube, I've got tons and tons of videos there. I'm especially a fan of the Beatles. I have a goal to arrange every single Beatles song. I think I'm up to 60 or 70 so far.
Do you know how many? There must be.
There's 200. There's 200 and it's 200 something.
That's
200 something.
That's interesting. Yeah. But I guess we tend to conflate any song by any of the four is a Beatles song.
Oh, right, right.
And, I could see, because you really have, 64 to 1970?
Yeah.
And that's it. So it's not quite as many as you might think.
Yeah, yeah. So I have tabs up, and they're available on YouTube is probably the easiest place to find it, and I always have a link to the tabs. Yeah, just people started asking. They were like, I want to know how you play that song. So, like, sure, why not
do
it?
Well, I would like to talk about some of the other genres that you're into, but why don't we hear another song? What would you like to play next?
Okay. I like to play, and this is very unusual. I just mentioned that I always play, pretty much always play in standard tuning, and that's true. This is the first song I've ever written on my own that is not in standard tuning. I just dropped the low E string down to D. I kind of wanted to explore kind of the Celtic feel a bit, which is not something that I have much experience in, but I really enjoy listening to. And so I wrote the song kind of over the past 6 months or so. And I've always kind of, in my head, called it like the Celtic tune because it's just sort of Celtic. But I came with the title this past week. It's called Down the Mill Race. And I'm just thinking of where I grew up in eastern Pennsylvania. There was an old stone mill where you could go and get actual flour ground by water power. And, you know, the stream that runs by that runs the wheel is called the mill race. And we would go and skate there in the winter. And it was just this, this bubbling, really active stream. And I'm just kind of thinking of that in this tune, which has this very consistent low thing going, kind of like the power of water. So it's called Down the Mill Race. Thank you.
Wow, that is Daryl Sean. What an intricate song. Yet it sounds like a classic folk tune. Linda Mack says hello.
Hello, Linda.
Linda sent a text message saying hello.
Nice.
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I know you well enough to ask you this question. I was really watching your hands as you played that last mm-hmm. song. Do you think that how can I put – I'm curious about the physical limitations if – I mean, I know how hard you practice and how much work you've put into your music. Mm-hmm. And I know that some may have more – may relate to music spiritually mm-hmm. or intellectually. Mm-hmm. But isn't important the shape of your hand or the ability like to be able to get your fingers – and I'll tell you why I'm asking in part is I've been – picking up my stringed instruments again after a long time, and I've forgotten how difficult it can be mm-hmm. to arrange your hands the way that a tab would tell you to. And it sort of occurred to me, well, I know some pianists. Slim Galliard is one who had these huge hands mm-hmm. That made sense. Is there any relationship to the ability to play guitar with one's natural dexterity? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah, I know what you're asking. And it's an interesting question. I actually don't think so. Like when I started playing guitar, when I was very young, my dad had a nylon string guitar. And a classical guitar, as you probably know, it has a wider fretboard than other guitars. And it's really so you can get your fingers in between the strings. It's wider. And when I was very young, you know, like 8 or 10 or something, I wanted to play it. And he had like a little chord diagram in the case. He didn't really play the guitar, but he had a chord diagram. And I tried and tried, and I couldn't do it. My hands were too small to make a chord. And even when I got to 11 or 12 as a teenager, it still seemed like way too big. So I thought, oh, I can't play guitar. I just can't. And when I started playing, it took a long time for me to sort of adapt and be able to play the chords. And then over time, especially after jazz school, I don't know if you can really see it here, but my left hand is actually stretched out.
Oh my God!
Further than my right. Yeah. Like I'm stretching as far as I can, and now I have this like extra stretch because of reaching for chords the whole time. So my hands have sort of changed in relation to what I play, and I think it's adapted. And I know I've seen other guitar players who some have this like massive reach, and some don't. And I think you just it's not that you make do. You just sort of adapt your playing in the way that it works. And I've seen people with what seem to be really small hands, and they do amazing work on the guitar.
That's really interesting. And what you mm-hmm. just made me think of is the instrument really becomes an extension of yourself, where mm-hmm. you become at one with the instrument.
Yeah.
So it's not a question of limitations as much as it is just the blending of your body with the instruments. And that's probably true on a non-physical level too.
I think so. I think it really is. I think the goal is really to become one with the instrument. And basically in that, you know, what you're thinking, your instrument will then speak for you. It's kind of the goal. And I think physically also, you know, especially as you play over time, spend time with your instrument, you just adapt, and I feel like the instrument and the music you make kind of adapts to you as well.
You mentioned you played drums as a kid.
Yeah.
And I did too. You know, I took piano lessons, but I also played drums.
Cool.
And it took me I was not a very good drummer. I understood theory really mm-hmm. well, but I was not a – didn't have very good chops. And it was much later in life I realized that one of the reasons why is I was always counting all the notes in my head.
Okay.
What I played. And there was no need to do that. I just kind of thought you had to go one end and through the end.
Yes.
And I realized, you know, I can't – that's a limitation. There's only so fast I could do that in my head.
Yeah. You know, it's really funny you mentioned that. I was working with – I've been taking voice lessons for a couple of years. I have a couple of singing projects. Most of what I do is instrumental, but I have some singing projects. And I was talking to her how when I was playing tuba, I was really into it and really practiced a lot. And every week, my teacher would tell me, okay, he would like have me like write out the notes or write out the beat above every measure. And I think as you're going through, I think 1, 2, 3, 4. And after a while, I was like, how long, like when can I stop thinking this in my head? Because I wanted to think about the music. I got it in my head. He was like, you never stop counting. And I was confused for a really long time. And I think he was just misleading. What he meant is that you're always aware of it. But it's sort of like you might have heard some people say sometimes that like what you do in music, you learn all the stuff, especially if you're studying theory, you learn all the stuff, then you forget it. And I think it's really true. Like, yeah. like even though I studied, you know, music in, you know, music school and all that, still when it comes time to play, you know, I'm just playing. And I might think sometimes, oh, this is what the chord is, but I'm really just thinking about the music. I'm not thinking about, oh, okay, now it's like, now I'm going to the two and then the dominant or whatever like that. I think with rhythm too, you just kind of feel it. You don't have to sit there counting. You
know? Any natural process. I mean, if you're walking or even something a little more less natural, like driving, you're not thinking of each individual discrete step.
Yeah.
You get to the point where
yes.
you get beyond the fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that's true in most of what we do, but it's incredible in music, and it takes a while. I guess when they say you're playing off the charts, you know, that could be part of it too.
Yep.
This is Daryl Shawn, who you're enjoying. And you can go to darylshawn.com to learn about his new album called Still Here, and also to look at tabs that he's generously made available on cover songs and learn more about his music. He'll play something now. It looks he's gotten the holy guitar out again.
Yes.
the guitar with the rectangular
hole in it. Yeah. And I'm going to do something different here. And just because thinking of our conversation, I'm going to choose to do this song. This is a song that's in a quick 5/8, and it's so fast in 5/8 that I can't think. I can't be counting in my head. It would just be impossible for me to do it. So it's something I have to feel. And for my listeners, like Linda, who's actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico, no one has heard this other than my wife so far. So it's very new. It will be on the new album, but it's in a quick 5/8. And it's something where I just realized I just have to eventually just feel it along, and then I'll be okay if I do.
I'm trying. You can see me. I'm tapping out. I'm trying to get my head around a 5/8 time signature. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And just a few notes about the song. I'm using these little wooden bridges, and when I was on the Light Brigade back in, I think it was 2015, I used these too. These little wooden bridges, and my dad might be listening. If so, hey, Pops. he made these little wooden bridges that actually go under the strings. I was explaining to him how a Japanese koto works.
Yeah.
Where you have these long strings, and in the middle they have a bridge that holds it up, and you can play on either side. And so that's what the deal is with these little bridges. They go under the string rather than over a string. So I can get two different notes out of one string. And this
Did you get that? As you're listening, he's put a bridge in the middle of the string, about halfway in between. Mm-hmm. So he now has a fretboard to work on, either towards the neck or towards the sound hole.
Yep. And it's sort of a way of creating an alternate tuning. Like this is, I haven't changed the tuning of the guitar, but using these little bridges, I get this new sound out of it. And it's a little bit the idea of a capo, except with a capo, it stops the strings. And this way I can play on either side if I want to.
This is fascinating. Yeah. The little bridges are going right where the frets are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's a really brilliant design my dad came up with. They have there's a little slot underneath, so it fits over the fret and holds it in one place. And the top comes to a point, so it just stops it. And you can keep it in tune. So this song... again, it's brand new. No one's heard this. I've decided to call it "The Stars of Kilimanjaro," and my parents actually spent 5 years in Kenya. I went to visit them, and we went to a game park in southern Kenya, near the border of Tanzania, and we could actually see Kilimanjaro there, which is in Tanzania. And I was outside, and I can't remember if I had my guitar with me, but I know I was outside. And you could sort of see the profile of Mount Kilimanjaro. And then suddenly the generators went out. We were staying in these little cabins. And so generators went out, the lights went out. And I've never experienced a blackness like that, just a night like that. And suddenly it was just completely black. And then the stars, it was like the stars turned on. And I've never seen stars like that. And you can still see the profile of Kilimanjaro there.
Wow.
So for some reason, this song made me think of it. Again, it's very, very new. Haven't performed this before. But I think now's a great time to start. This is called The Stars of Kilimanjaro. And yes, it is in five. So you could think of it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But the song really is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So count along if you wish. I will not be.
Was so that was really wonderful.
Thank you.
And
world premiere.
Well, and listening your lowest string,
mm-hmm.
It's unusual to hear a higher pitch.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I think you had I forget what we called these doodads.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't really have a name, although one of my listeners actually suggested doodad since my dad made them.
Yeah,
he's like, call them the doodads.
Well, Linda just wrote, and she said, oh, nice. more doodad.
Thank
music,
you, Linda. Awesome.
And how much she liked the Kilimanjaro song. But I'm glad you put that back in. I hate to make a request, but
that's right. Yeah.
Could you play on either side of it
just
for a second?
Sure. So this is toward the bridge, and this is toward the neck.
So to hear a note that high towards the bridge, it's almost physically impossible to press that string down with your finger because it's too close to the sound hole. It's your hand.
Yep.
So it's really unusual to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually never fret on that string in the whole song. So it's sort of like a harp or something where you're just playing just that one or two notes that it makes.
Yeah, I felt like doing a play by play as you were playing. I was kind of in my head because I was trying to follow, but I didn't want to verbalize it. So. What other – I know you play – I'm not asking that you do so, but we talked about the looping music. Yeah. I know you play flamenco. Mm-hmm. What are some of – not to I sense that music is really holistic to you, but I'm just curious what some of the other passions you have for exploring with guitar.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
you mentioned surf rock.
Yes, So I have basically seven active projects right now. So the one is my surf rock band. We're called the Killifish. We're playing on Wednesday at the Greer Cabaret Theater downtown. It's right at right at Katz Plaza at 7th and Penn. So we'll be there from 7 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, the Greer Theater. And so $5 to get in. Yeah, the Cultural Trust is putting that on.
Right near the big eyeballs.
Yes. Yep.
Or the fake... not fake, the artistic dogwood tree.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's surf rock with the Killifish. I have basically an indie rock band where I'm singing and playing guitar called Cistern and Buckets. We have a single coming out pretty soon. That'll be out. There's another band called the Daryl Sean Combination, which is a quartet, and that's very loud electric guitar, sort of like Joe Satriani, Steve Vai kind of high gain guitar, high energy, complicated stuff. We're called the Daryl Sean Combination. We have stuff on Spotify and out there. And then besides Swan Welder, the improvised loop project, then I have a project called Ometer, O-M-E-T-E-R. And that's just all ambient synthesizer stuff. And also there's stuff out on Spotify with that. And then this is Daryl Sean, this solo guitar. And then also a project called the Daryl News, which is all more like acoustic songwriting and singing. And we have a few singles out as well.
And that's your singing on those?
I'm singing on those, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, you're a talented guy.
I'm busy.
Well, what I think is remarkable, too, is I don't think you've ever lost interest or enthusiasm for what you're doing. It's pretty clear that you're still really excited and exhilarated what you're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
You mentioned your dad. Do you have family members that are also musical?
Yeah, you know, my brother plays guitar also, and it's fun to get together and sing with him. And we grew up singing. I grew up Mennonite, and four-part harmony is very important in that faith. And growing up, we were more of the traditional Mennonites where there wouldn't be instruments in the churches. There wouldn't even be pianos. And so the four-part vocal harmony was very important. So I grew up around that kind of thing. And all my family and extended family still love to get together and sing. And it's a beautiful sound. There's nothing I love more than four-part vocal harmony. It's a great thing.
Well, and having Mennonite folks on my wife's side of the family, I now understand why the doodads, that's a product of Mennonite.
There we go,
A lot of great woodworkers.
Oh, absolutely.
just such a neat idea.
Yeah.
if you're just joining us, Daryl Sean is here. We have about 6 minutes of radio time, and depending on the length of what you're going to play, it's probably one song. You can carve that up as you'd like.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't mind doing two. There's one very short song called "Still Here," That I'll do. And there's another song, an older song of mine that I'd like to do. So if you don't mind, I'll fit in too.
Of course not. Let's have you do it. And Still Here is the title song to the forthcoming release that you can learn more about at DarylSean.com.
Yep, here we go. This is Still Here.
Still here, Daryl Sean, and as he changed his guitars, I'm going to thank all of our guests for today, and Daryl will play us out. First, thank you to Chad Green for a great job mixing, and to Ricky Berger for a very busy morning of production. Alexis Thompson books all of our guests. Also, Robert Gray, Director of Operations, Janessa Schuller, Director of Programs, and the whole gang. Thanks to our guests today, Paul Tellers, architect and planner. Also, thank you to Amos Levy from the Tough Apprenticeship Program, Joyce Magerson Moore, and Dr. Lindina Thomas from New Horizon Theater, and to Cecilia Chulo from Bishop Canavan High School, and the Destino Cello. Once again, with our gratitude, here's Daryl Sean.
Okay. I just want to say a word about this. The song is called Trusting in Bridges. It's an old song of mine. And I live in Regent Square, very close to the bridge. In fact, I took the bridge 12 hours, two times about 12 hours before it collapsed Friday morning. So I want to play the song for that bridge. It's called Trusting in Bridges. Thank you.
y sin palabras me has dejado sola. Mis ilusiones se las lleva el viento y los momentos que pasamos juntos se fueron con ella, se fueron lejos. Y sin palabras me has quitado todo, mis emociones y esos momentos. Y las pasiones que vivimos juntos se fueron con ella, se fueron lejos. Ya no puedo separarme de tu corazón. Ya me falta todo y quiero estar contigo. Temor, ¿cómo me puedo escapar de tu forma de pensar, de tu forma de sentir? Porque tú estás aquí. ¿Cómo me puedo escapar de tu forma de soñar?
Thank you.